If you would please, to Matthew chapter 7. We're continuing our series in the Sermon on the Mount. We're in Matthew chapter 7 today, the very first part of the chapter. Let's go to the Lord and ask for his help as we look to his word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and that is true. We thank you for your son Jesus, and thanks that he came to earth, and thanks for what he taught us. Thank you that we have his words written down, and thanks that we can hear his words today, and thank you that your word is living and active, that it's alive. So I pray that it would speak to us right now and give us open hearts to hear from you, to believe what you've said, to obey what you've said. I pray that you would work in us right now, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you look in the bulletin, you'll see the name of the title of the sermon is Do Not Judge. I could have called it How to Deal with Difficult People, or maybe like a better, like more exact, you know, title for the context of this is How to Deal with Sinful People, or maybe even more exact, How to Deal with Sinful People in Your Church. So sometimes I do talk to people that have left a church and gone to another one. And, you know, occasionally the reason that they leave a church and go to another one is there's theology. It's like a theological issue. It's like, oh, well, I thought the church believed one thing, and then I found out, oh, they're starting to believe something that's not biblical, and so I need to go to a different church. That's probably a good reason to leave a church. Sometimes it's like a leadership issue, like a moral failing or something like that, and that can be a good reason to leave a church. But you know what usually the reason is that somebody leaves a church? Somebody wasn't nice to me, really. And sometimes people like give another reason. When they talk about it, they talk about another reason, but then you dig down, like, what was the real reason they left? Somebody wasn't nice to me. Somebody said something I didn't like. Somebody offended me. Somebody criticized me. Somebody gossiped about me. Somebody, you know, criticized what I was doing. And, you know, we got to deal with that. And thankfully, Jesus deals with some of that and shows us a way to handle it. Jesus is very realistic. You know, God's word understands the way the world is. And Jesus knows that as we come to him as his followers, we've turned to God in faith, we've asked for forgiveness, we've repented of our sins, we've received forgiveness, we're still messed up, we're still sinners. We still hurt each other. We still say the wrong thing. And there's a whole bunch of us together in that situation. Like, you know, we're a community of sinners. And we got to figure out a way to live together. And Jesus' words help us to do that, to deal with each other. So let me read Matthew 7, 1 to 6. And then we'll jump in and see if we can learn how to do this. And I got to tell you, like, some of this is not that hard to understand. What's hard about this is doing it. Okay? So let's ask for God's help to actually do what he said. Okay. Jesus' words. He says, "Do not judge so that you won't be judged. For you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use. Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the splinter out of your eye,' and look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet, turn, and tear you to pieces." This is God's word. Okay, the first thing Jesus says about how to deal with people who are sinners, what Jesus says is, don't judge. do not judge. Now, there is, I don't think any of you think this, but there was kind of a famous interpretation of this verse by the Russian writer named Leo Tolstoy. I really love this guy's books. If you've got time to read like a 1,000-page book, you should try it. It might take you a year. It takes me a year, but it's worth it. But anyway, as wonderful as this guy's books are, he didn't understand this passage very well, because what he thought this meant was there shouldn't be any courts. There shouldn't be any law courts. Do not judge. Obviously, that means there should be no judges, so there shouldn't be any law courts. That's how Christians should arrange the world. That's not the right interpretation. The context of this is not government and politics. In the Old Testament, God had his people set up certain sort of court systems. In the New Testament, there's reference to court systems. And it's not that they're necessarily wrong all the time. God can use law courts for different reasons. That's not what this, it's not talking about how we should set up a political society. The context of this passage is your heart. What should your heart be as somebody who follows Jesus, and you look at other people around you and you realize those people aren't living right? Okay? What should your heart be towards those other people? What should your attitude towards other people be, knowing that those people are sinners? Okay? And also knowing that as a Christian, you're called to reconciliation. If you look back in just looking at the Sermon on the Mount, if you look at chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus is talking about worshiping, and he says, if you're worshiping and you realize there's a problem between you and somebody else, he says, first go and be reconciled with your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. So make things right between you and this other person, and then you go and worship God, okay? Jesus is calling us to reconciliation. If you look at chapter 5, verse 44, that can't be right. Yeah, it is right. Okay, 544, Jesus says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So we're people who are called to love our enemies. Your enemies are sinners, okay? Your friends are sinners too. But your enemies are sinners, and you're called to love them, okay? And then, and you look at verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 12, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And you look, jump down to verse 14. So that's the prayer of the disciple. You're praying that God will forgive you as you forgive other people. So God's called us to forgiveness. If you look at verse 14, if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. So we're called to forgive people when they hurt us and offend us and do the wrong thing, act badly towards us. If you look at chapter 7, we haven't studied this. We'll get to this next time. But chapter 7, verse 12, it says, therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. For this is the law and the prophets. It's another way to phrase this is do unto others what you would have them do unto you. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. The golden rule. We're called to love our neighbors. We're called to do for other people what we would want them to do to us. So this is what we're called to. We're called to reconciliation. We're called to love for our enemies. We're called for forgiveness. We're called to love people. And then there are these people out there, and they're not living right. So what should our heart attitude be towards those people? Okay, and there's another, probably more famous than Tolstoy, misunderstanding of this verse. Is probably one of the most misquoted verses in the whole Bible. Do not judge, right? And this is how today's postmodern culture uses this verse. It says, this is what we say to each other in our kind of relativistic world. I'm going to live my life. You live your life. Don't judge me. I won't judge you. You don't judge me. If I want to do what I want to do, doesn't matter really what the Bible says. Doesn't matter what God says. Doesn't matter what your moral standard is. That stuff doesn't matter. I'm living by my standard. You live your life. I'll live my life. I'll use my money the way I want to use my money. I'll say what I want to say. I'll express the views that I want to have. I'll vote for who I want to vote for. I'll express my opinion the way I want. Don't judge me. I'll wear the clothes I want to wear. Don't judge me, you know. I'll live my life. You live yours. Stay out of my business. Do not judge. That's the way that this verse is most often used, right? Do not judge. But Jesus can't mean that. Jesus can't mean that we shouldn't make judgments, that we shouldn't use our good judgment. And Jesus all the time is distinguishing between truth and error. He's always warning people about false prophets. He says, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. You know, and what he means is, they're teaching something that's false. They're believing something that's false. Don't believe what they believe because they're wrong. Jesus is always saying, this is right and this is wrong. Okay, he's also making moral judgments. Like Jesus said in the last, a couple chapters ago, he said, your righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees. You got to be even better than the most religious people in your town. You know, and he says, you shouldn't just, it's not just that adultery is wrong. Adultery is wrong. Lust is also wrong. Like Jesus is making moral judgments and saying this is right and this is wrong. So we need to use good judgment. That's not, Jesus can't mean that we shouldn't use good judgment when he says don't judge. We need to be discerning and use good judgment. But if you go back to this context then of reconciliation and love and forgiveness, that when there's a conflict between people, what Jesus is saying when he says don't judge is we shouldn't be judgmental. And I know that sort of sounds like splitting hairs, but there's a difference between using good judgment and being judgmental. What he's saying is when somebody else does something and they're doing something that's wrong, or you believe it's wrong, and it might be wrong, you shouldn't, in your assessment of that person, be overly harsh, overly critical. You shouldn't put yourself in a position where you're superior to that other person. You're better than they are. You shouldn't delight in finding fault with that person. You know, it's possible to always be trying to find a way that somebody else messes up and then to kind of gloat in the way that they've really botched it. Or when something's not going well for somebody to look at their life and say, well, you know, they haven't always made good decisions. The worst is when somebody dies. And you're like, oh, why'd they die? Well, it was the heart. Oh, was it the arteries? Yeah, it was the arteries. Their arteries were clogged up. Was it the chips? Was it the Doritos? You know. They ate a lot of Doritos. You know, as if you're not going to die too. You know, as if I'm not going to die. As if my heart isn't going to stop at some point. You know, like, there's, like, kind of gloating in somebody else's demise or the trouble that they've gotten themselves into and criticizing people and being happy to not be in the same trouble that they're in. That's what it is to be judgmental, okay? So, and it's also being ready to dismiss somebody. You know, like, okay, I've got a conflict with you. You're not living right. And so that sort of excuses me from having to deal with you. You know, I don't have to work at reconciling with you because you're not a good person. You know, that kind of attitude. Or, you know, you're eager to cut somebody off, to put them out. Okay, so that's what we're called not to do, to be judgmental towards other people. So I just want to ask you before we move on, when you think about people in your family, or people in your church family who you know they're not living right, what's your attitude towards that person? Can you think of somebody right now? Don't point. Please don't point. You'll be pointing at me. But think of somebody in your family or in your church family who's not living right. Try to remember the way you talk about them, or try to remember your thoughts about that person. Like, what do you think about them? Are you gloating in their demise? Are you feeling superior to them that you've made wiser decisions and you're better? are you happy to find their faults? What Jesus says is, don't judge people, don't be judgmental of people, because then you're putting yourself in the place of God. God is the judge. We read about that this morning. On the last day, God is going to judge our sins. He's the one who gets to judge. He's the one that doesn't just see our actions, he sees into our hearts. And if when we judge each other, we're putting ourselves in God's place. And we need to remember that he's going to judge us. And there's that picture of like somebody running around with a measuring stick, you know, like with a yardstick and holding it up to people. Oh, you're not tall enough. You know, you're not morally above my line. God's going to take that same measuring stick and measure us with it. You know, he'll turn it back on us. So we shouldn't suspend good judgment. We shouldn't stop making judgments about what's right and wrong and what's true and false, but we need to not be judgmental. That should be our heart towards people. And then Jesus goes on, and he says that we need to be introspective. We need to look at our own hearts. When we look at other people, we need to look at ourselves. He gives that famous analogy of the splinter and the plank. And it's like you're looking at somebody and, oh, there's a speck in your eye. There's a splinter in your eye. Let me help you get that splinter out. And he says, but in your eye, there's a whole beam of wood. There's a whole plank. And it's intentionally outrageous, because who walks around? And the Greek word really refers to like a beam of wood that holds up a roof in a house, you know? Roof. I'm from Arkansas, and I can't even remember the right way to say it. I say roof. I think people around here don't. I don't know. Whatever. But, you know, like a big beam in a building. Like one of these big beams. Nobody has one of those in their eye. Jesus is intentionally outrageous. He's like, you're saying that somebody has a splinter, and then you've got this big plank of wood in your eye, okay? And you need to deal with that first before you deal with the other person. And here's maybe another way to think about it. What if you had a recorder, like an audio recorder, a little tape recorder hanging around your neck on a string, and you went through your day, and every time you criticized somebody, it recorded what you said, okay? Oh, that person shouldn't have had the whole sleeve of Oreos. That person wasn't exactly honest about their motivation with that, you know? Like every time you make a judgment about somebody, it recorded it. And then at the end of the day, or the, you know, end of the week, you listen to it. Would you live up to your own standard? Would you live up to your own standard, much less God's, on the way that you criticize yourself? It's like we need to go back and look at our own lives. So when somebody does you wrong, step one is check yourself, Jesus says. Inspect your own life. Be introspective. Look at your own life and say, is there anything in my life that's a mess? And a lot of times the thing in our life is so much bigger than the thing that you're criticizing in somebody else, right? When there's a conflict with somebody else, step one is to ask yourself, am I part of the problem here? Or maybe a better way to say it is, how am I part of the problem here? How can I figure out how I'm part of the problem in this conflict? We are so quick to exaggerate the faults of other people, right? And then excuse our own faults. Make excuses for ourselves when we mess up. It's kind of human nature. So we need to look back at our own lives and find those things that we're making excuses about and say, this is a problem, and deal with it, okay? So, and by the way, before I keep going, some of you right now are thinking about the person who needs to hear this message. Get it? Okay. Jesus is talking about our eyes. Jesus says, like, get the plank out of your eye. And the reason is because when we have our own faults that we haven't dealt with, then we can't have the spiritual discernment. We can't see clearly to help the other person with their faults. So we need to deal with our own faults, and then we'll have the spiritual discernment to help the other person with theirs. Jesus wants us to work towards reconciliation. Jesus wants us to work towards resolving the conflict with other people, but before we can even make contact with that other person, we have to deal with ourselves. And the way that we deal with ourselves is in prayer, right? And on our knees before the Lord, asking God, God, will you reveal to me what it is in my life that I need to fix? What is it in my life that I need to confess? What do I need to repent of? What's my side of the problem before I turn to reconcile with this other person so that I can go to them and say, I own this part of the issue. I own my side of it. So we shouldn't be judgmental, but we should be introspective. We should check ourselves. Check yourself before you deal with the other person. And then, but Jesus doesn't stop there. He keeps going. We do need to deal with the other person, okay? So when somebody, and think about somebody in your church family maybe, when somebody does you wrong, how do you respond? How are we tempted to respond when somebody does us wrong in the church family or in our family? One way that we are tempted to respond is to fight back. You hit me, I'll hit you back harder. You say something mean about me, I'll say something mean about you. You gossip about me, I'll gossip about you. That's one way we're tempted to deal with it. Another way is to criticize the person, to tell somebody else what you really think and not hold back. Sometimes there's those like passive aggressive posts on the social. I should have found some that I could read to you, but I didn't. That's sort of like the purpose of Facebook, right? Or one of them. One of the big purposes is to make passive-aggressive criticisms about the people in your life. Okay. And then another way we deal with it is just to ignore it. That's a way that we're tempted. And some of us, that's our personality more than others, is just to ignore the issue and not ever try to deal with it. Well, they criticize me. They hurt me. I guess I don't deal with that person anymore. I guess I need to find a new friend. I guess I need to find a new church. I need to find a different small group. Sometimes it's even, I need to find a new family. I'm not going to deal with that person anymore, okay? But Jesus, he doesn't say to do that. He doesn't say to fight back. He doesn't say to criticize. He doesn't say to ignore it. He says, get the plank out of your own eye, and then you can go to your brother and say, let me help you get the speck out, okay? So it doesn't stop with the introspection. After the introspection, you reach out towards the other person and try to make things right. And maybe that person does have a small problem, and you can help them with that small problem. You can point it out to them. You know what? When you said that, it hurt me. You know, when you did this, it wasn't right. The way that you made this decision, it doesn't line up with the scripture or something like that. You know, you can go and you can talk to them about it. Jesus wants us to pursue reconciliation. He wants us to work towards harmony and to work towards holiness to serve each other, to help each other live holy lives before God. That's what Jesus is asking us to do, to reach out, okay? So if somebody has harmed you, or if you're in a conflict with somebody, especially in your church family, okay, especially at Calvary Chapel, or if you notice a sin in somebody's life, first, check yourself, deal with your own issues, and then reach out to that person and try to serve that person, try to love that person well by working it out, by helping them, by pointing out the problems, by trying to do the hard, dirty work of dealing with the issue. Be reconciled. So, you see, let's go back to where we've come from so far. We're not supposed to be judgmental. But we check ourselves, and then we reach out. I'll go back over it again. We're not supposed to be judgmental, but we need to be introspective and then reach out towards the person in a helpful way, in a loving way. Okay? But then there's another thing that Jesus points out in that last verse, in verse 6, when he talks about, he says, don't give what's holy to dogs or toss your pearls before pigs. Okay, now that's a pretty harsh verse. Jesus sometimes does that. There's a reality that not everybody is going to respond to you the right way. Okay, not everybody's going to receive what you want to say, receive the kind of help that you're trying to give them. Not everybody's going to do that. And Jesus is especially talking about people who don't know the Lord. And he's especially talking about people who don't know the Lord who are hardened towards the things of God, who've decidedly rejected the things of God. Okay? In the ancient world, in the first century in Israel, dogs weren't, you know, like we have this wonderful puppy who's a monster. But, like, he actually lives in our house, you know, and we like our dog most of the time. In the ancient world, dogs were like scavengers in Israel in the first century. They were on the street. It wasn't like this sleek greyhound that you kept in a clean kennel. It was like, or this little toy, you know, lap dog. Dogs were like the mongrel on the street. And then pigs. Pigs were considered unclean. That's what the Gentiles ate. The Jewish people don't even eat them. Don't keep them around. They're gross. They're dirty. Okay. They make you ceremonially unclean, so you can't worship in the temple. And Jesus says, don't throw what's holy to dogs. Dogs. Don't give your pearls to pigs. And then right after that, he says, they'll trample them. The pigs are what tramples. And then the dogs, I think it's sort of this poetic way of phrasing it. The pearls trample the pigs trample the pearls. The dogs turn on you and devour you when you throw what's holy to them. And if you've ever had a dog tear something up that was expensive, you know what I'm talking about. And Jesus isn't talking about animals. He's comparing certain people to dogs and pigs. Certain people don't appreciate the help that you're trying to give them. And some people are even dangerous, okay? And I think the context of this is especially the Christian mission. Because he says, don't give what is holy to the dogs. What is holy? I think what he's talking about is the good news of Jesus. Some people have rejected the good news of Jesus, and if you keep insisting, they'll turn on you and devour you. And it's a reality that there's real persecution of Christians in the world, okay? And the pearl that you shouldn't throw before the pigs, that's the pearl of great price. It's the good news of Jesus. There are some people that just won't appreciate it. They'll trample it, and they'll turn on you. And Jesus talks about this when he sends the disciples out on their mission. He says, when you're rejected, if a town rejects you, brush the dirt off your feet and move to the next town. The Apostle Paul lived that reality. He went to some groups of people and they rejected him. There was a point where he went to a Jewish city and was presenting the good news of Jesus to these people. They rejected him, and he said, "Oh, you don't want it? I'll take my good news to the Gentiles. Peace. I'm out of here. You know, I'm gone. I'm taking my message somewhere else." And if he had persisted with them, it would have been dangerous for him. And sometimes he even persisted anyway, and it was dangerous for him. And people tried to stone him and stuff like that. So Jesus is saying, just because you're not being judgmental doesn't mean you need to stop being discerning. You need to be discerning of what people are like. Okay, so and this is especially has to do with when you're dealing with people that don't know the Lord and they're hardened against the things of God. So we shouldn't be judgmental, but we should have good judgment. And we do need to share the good news of people with the good news of Jesus with people that don't know it. We need to reach out to them. But when they've reached the point where they've rejected and they aren't budging, Jesus is saying, move on. Move on to somebody else. Don't keep pushing, because that's their problem at that point. Don't be judgmental, but be introspective. And then try to be helpful, but stay discerning. So this is how we deal with people who are sinners. Okay? I'm not better than you. I'm a sinner who's forgiven just like you are if you're a believer in Christ. I'm not better than you. I'm not perfect yet either. Let me look at the sin in my life and deal with that sin. But then I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to go to you and say, you've hurt me. Let's work this out. Let's deal with this. I'm going to try to be helpful. And then with people on the outside who I'm trying to share the good news with, if those people become dangerous, then I'll let them go. But people in my church fellowship, I'm gonna hang in there with them and keep working on it, okay? When somebody isn't living right, first check yourself, then reach out to them, but use discernment with people on the outside who don't know the Lord. God has called us to forgiveness. God has called us to reconciliation. And we have the resource that the world doesn't have to make reconciliation possible. And that resource is, we've been forgiven. We know we're sinners. We've experienced forgiveness ourselves. And so we can then turn and offer that to the people that have hurt us. Can you think of your person that you're going to do that with this week? Can you think of who you can try to reach out to after you've spent some time in prayer, checking your own heart? You can reach out to them and try to make things right when things haven't been going well. Let's try to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you for your help to live for you and to live for you in this way when we try to work out conflicts. I just ask for your help in this, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and we'll sing the next hymn.